Hello and welcome to WonderPod, episode 19. That's right, we're all reassembled and it's starting out shaky, trust me. Joining me this week, as always, is Gunsage.
Deja vu, the sensation you're doing something you've done before. Deja vu, the sensation you're doing something you've done before.
Also joining me this week, returning from the mountains after being chased by 3 grizzly bears, 2 badgers, a half a wolverine, and a rabid squirrel, which was the one that almost got him, Patrick.
What's going on, people? I have returned. And this week, I have a potentially controversial shout-out to give out later in the show.
I don't know how a shout-out can be controversial, but we'll just have to wait now, won't we, kids? Gunsage, run through what you've been playing.
Well, I recently picked up Alan Wake, and I recently beat Alan Wake, and I'm sure everybody else is playing Red Dead Redemption, as is evidenced by my friends list, which is really goddamn annoying, but I can't do anything about it because Alpha Protocol is at the beginning of next month, and also my daughter's birthday is at the end of this month, so that's about it.
By the way, I wouldn't be holding your breath on Alpha Protocol. I know some people that got early review copies, and it's not been pretty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
So,
I mean, it's got the right developers in hand, so I don't know. One way or the other, I think I'll like it. But Sega has been very hit-miss lately, especially with Iron Man 2.
So, but it sounds like since you beat Alan Wake really quickly, it's still a good value due to the DLC I was reading about, yes?
I'll put it this way. It is not Silent Hill 2, but it feels like Silent Hill 2.
Considering you messaged me the other night, afraid the furniture was going to attack you, I'm assuming it's going to be good when I finally buy it.
Yeah, it's one of those games that I strongly encourage people to buy, if only just to help in saying this is what we want our games to be from now on. Because I haven't seen a game like this in a very long time, so I'm really happy with it.
Patrick, what have you been playing this week?
Well, as we know, I've been away for a little while, so I've been pretty much away from games too. There's not too many video games going on in the Rocky Mountains, but I really just played more of the Halo Reach beta, which many people, I'm sure, are upset. Many a fanboy is upset because it's now over. And I also went back to Game Room, which is somewhere I did not spend any time at all ever since they had that announcement that they were delaying all the game. I finally heard of a game that I played as a kid with my brother at the local Safeway. The game is called Time Pilot. Pretty fun little arcade game. I think it was made in 1983 or 82. I don't know when I played it, but we used to play it. My brother and I used to play it often as we waited for my mother to cash out at the cashier, so she gave us quarters to stop annoying her, I think, and we played some games. I've noticed that 2 things about the game. Number one, it seems a heck of a lot harder now that I'm much older. I must have been a lot better Twitch gamer, as Bruce you like to call the young people. I pretty much suck at it now. But I also noticed, the second thing I noticed about it is it's still fun. I mean, it's really cool when you get a game you haven't played in a long time and the memories come back and you can still have fun with it. Of course, it's old. It's 1983 or something, but it's still great. I liked it. aside from that, I've been playing a few of the newer game types in Halo Reach, one of which is called Invasion, and it's probably my favorite game type thus far. Sort of like Rush on Battlefield Bad Company 2. You have an invading team and you have a team defending. The defenders are always the Spartans and the invaders are always the elite, at least in the beta. Quite fun. When you're playing in a group, a party, so to speak, it's a lot more fun because then you could be organized and have your plan of attack. When you're defending, it's great to have somebody on the mic telling you where people are coming. Another game type was 3v3 generator defense, whereas basically you're a team of 3 against another team of 3. Once again, I played with people I didn't know, and it was just a clusterfuck. And when I played with people I did know, it was great fun. So aside from that, that's about all I've been playing. Some old school Time Pilot and the last seconds of the Halo Reach beta.
Yeah, I don't see that 3v3 going well over well in release. I think it'll be kind of like squad deathmatch on Battlefield Bad Company. I'm sure there'll be people who play it, but that's actually a game type I'd be interested in. I've been playing this week Borderlands. I like it. Love the art style. Gearbox Software did a really great job of the art style. I just have not been as blown away by it as some people. But it mostly has to do with just the feel of the game. It feels like other games to me. You know, it's nothing major, but it just, it feels like I've done a lot of the things they asked me to do before, and not just once. But still, for tackling the post-apocalyptic setting with, you know, other games like Fallout 3 and others of that ilk that have been out fairly recently, they did a really good job. I'm impressed with the game. I need to get back in and play it a little more. Other than that, really just the basic nightly antics in Battlefield Bad Company, a little bit of Left 4 Dead 2 with Gunsage and our very own G from Project Wonder Boy, and then I went back and downloaded the DLC that came out for the original Left 4 Dead due to, if I recall correctly, whining and crying from people who called Left 4 Dead 2 an expansion pack, which, by the way, just for the record, they were wrong about that. If you want to see an expansion pack, that would be Halo ODST. But all in all, just kind of been really busy at work, so not a lot of time to play video games, but that's basically what I've been playing. And now we'll move on to the discussion topic. Okay, our discussion topic this week is many multiplayer games get patched or updated in an attempt to balance them or make them fair. Is this the right course of action? And how much tinkering with a game is too much? Think nerfing guns or other things of that ilk in the FPS genre, which is really the only place this happens. Patrick, what do you think?
Well, it really seems lately, in the last couple of years, or maybe even just the last year, that this is becoming more and more common. Almost every time that I boot up one of my favorite online games like Gears of War 2 or most recently Battlefield and Call of Duty, I seem to be kicked out of the party and logged off Xbox Live because there's a new and highly important update. Then I come back onto Xbox Live and notice there's hardly any change, if I notice any change at all. I don't know. It's usually no more than a minor change in the range of a weapon or the power of a weapon, the speed you're running or the damage a grenade does. I think it's getting pretty silly that developers are changing their game to suit all the little whiny kids out there on the message boards that are, you know, they're losing and they're trying to blame the game for their personal bad gameplay habits. I don't think that game developers are really helping themselves out here by appeasing to these guys, you know, a bunch of whiny kids. They think the game is picking on them. You know, it's a personal vendetta they have about the game. It's not the game's fault, you know, little Timmy, as I've said, that you suck. It's not because the grenades are only taking away extra damage to you. It's happening to me also. It's happening to everyone. It's not just that the shotgun is too powerful against you. It's powerful against me also. Everyone playing has the same bloody issues with the weapons, but they don't lose all the time. So, you know, these whining little Timmies are blaming the game. People adapt to the game. They make changes and they suck it up, basically. I wish developers only made a few minor changes only if they needed to, and that they stop this trend of caving into the needs of all the little whining Timmies out there on the message board saying, oh, this is too hard, or you need to change this. I prefer leaving a game, you know, aside from maybe some graphics tearing fixes or bug fixes, as it was.
Gunsage, your thoughts on the matter?
Well, this is what I think. You ever have that asshole who, he comes over to your place, you play Mortal Kombat Trilogy, and the first thing he does is he sees that you pick a normal character, so he picks Shao Kahn. That's fucking annoying. With Shao Kahn, especially since he's an unbalanced character because he's seen as a boss character, he will rape your shit in 5 moves or less, especially if you know the moves for that character. The same thing was seen with Street Fighter 4. Now, to be fair, with Super Street Fighter 4, they went ahead and rebalanced the characters. So now that doesn't happen as much, so it really does come down to pure skill. Here's the problem, though. I don't look at that as a developer fault. I look at that as a gamer dick issue, because they're supposed to be boss characters. I mean, I don't know if you guys tinker around with Mugen, where you can go ahead and basically create whatever kind of 2D fighter you want. There are some people that all they do is they make ridiculously over-the-top boss characters that even if you fight them on stage one, they will beat the holy shit out of you because their AI was designed to be that way. The special moves were designed to be that way. Often what they'll do is they'll go ahead and pit, like, I was telling one of my friends the other night, the Death Star from Star Wars versus Evil Gouken. Just fucking ridiculous amounts of bullshit flying all over the screen and one barely wins. from... it's just retarded. Anyway, again, this is not a developer issue. I look at this as a gamer dick issue, because the game is designed in a certain way. Now, if it's glitchy, like the Javelin glitch, you know, okay, that's something that needs to be corrected. That's something the developers did not intend on. That's something that should not be there, so they need to correct it, because that is a clear and utter cheat. That's a cheat. The difference, however, is it's a cheat versus a play style. If you have a tendency to deliberately pick a boss character so you can go ahead and bully around legitimate players, you're a gamer dick. Versus if somebody is actually able to hit you from 200 yards away with a shotgun, even if it's just one fucking buckshot to put your ass on the ground, here's the problem. Chances are you were about dead anyway, so that was a lucky fucking shot. And I don't really care how the shotgun's designed. Maybe it's designed in a way that, okay, on target, it's going to have at least one buckshot shit get into your ass. Closer, obviously, it's going to do more damage, which is why it's a more close to medium range weapon, so there's that. But, you know, in the event somebody's able to rape you like that over and over and over again, it's probably because you were low on life. If you weren't low on life, then I would consider it a developer issue. Maybe it needs tweaked, but there is absolutely no reason to completely change the game and all of its weapons just to suit one or two whining fucking motherfuckers. It's retarded.
Come close to your little listening thingies, kiddies. Uncle Bruce is going to tell you a story. No matter how much we try to change it with laws and society and the dumbing down of achieving, life's not fucking fair. It just ain't fair. And video games shouldn't be either. All this attempting to balance and make things more accurate or less accurate, or, oh my God, the M60 and Battlefield Bad Company 2 is too powerful. Yeah, it might have had something to do with the fact there was four different guys shooting at you with the same gun. You ran into a wall of lead that the Flash couldn't run around. It's not going to be fair. And in games like Battlefield Bad Company, where in my personal opinion, it requires more of a skill set to be learned to be good at, you're not going to change anything. They can dumb down the guns all they want. I'm still going to play. I'm still going to adapt. And the good players are going to be good. And the shitty ones who think they're good are still going to be crap. The only case where I see any fairness issues that need to be addressed are occasionally, and I'm even torn on this, in a game like Battlefield Bad Company, your team will get backed into a corner and you're screwed. Now, the only problem with that, and the only reason I'd even say maybe something like that should be addressed, is because you get all these little whiners who are worried about their stats that I bitch about so often, who quit. So you go from a team of 12 people to 4, because, oh no, we're losing. Now, personally, me, as a gamer, I'm going to sit there and take the loss. I've done, like we've talked about from since the beginning of the show, it's funny when we do it. Well, sometimes you got to be on the receiving end, too. But in that regard, to make the game more fun, you might possibly tweak it a little bit. But this whole nerf this gun, or oh my god, your sprint's too fast, yeah, I'm with my two buddies here. Get over it. The guys that were using whatever gun or perk you see as unfair are going to figure out some other way to beat you, because they're good players and they have a good skill set. And it's back to what I said before. Life isn't fair. It's just not fair. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. You need to get over it. And like Patrick said, and unfortunately, Patrick, I think developers have backed themselves into a corner. You know, you devs out there, you need to quit, because you're just perpetuating the behavior of, well, I don't like this, so I'm going to start raging on the official forum board until I get listened to. And then other idiots will crawl out of the woodwork until you get stuff that's, you know, I don't know. Last night, did you notice any difference in Battlefield at all from nope. The nerfing you did? Did you die any less or any more because of it?
I didn't see any difference whatsoever. Like I said, all I saw was having to reboot my system and do some update that does next to nothing but appease little Timmy.
I bet you the little bitching about it probably got killed just as many times after the update, and they're on the Battlefield Bad Company forum boards bitching about something else.
Yep.
What always amuses me as a little aside to it is it's never the sniper rifles. I guess they've got it through their heads that no matter how much you nerf those, they're still going to kill you. And from a long distance, and more than likely without a kill cam, you're not going to know where it came from. It's mostly the shotgun or a machine gun or whatever. It's a disturbing trend. I don't like where it's going, and I'm not surprised that we're all on the same page with that. That has been our discussion topic. When we post a show, you can post your thoughts. If you are one of these little Timmies, I'd love for you to post your thoughts so I can take a fire iron to them.
That's not fair.
Yeah. I'm just feeling really lucky that more than likely when these level playing field, everything is fair, bastards take over the earth, I'll be dead. And on that note, we shall move on to news. And we'll go another right from one habit developers are doing that I'm not really happy about, but doubt I'll see any end to another one. The headline, Ubisoft looks to follow EA's Project $10 plans. French publisher Ubisoft lost its ass last year. They reported their finances. They lost, I don't know, some amount of money, I forget. So now they're thinking about doing the same thing EA's doing. Which is basically, if you buy the game brand new, you get codes for stuff that you won't get if you buy it used. If you buy the game used, you have to pay $10 to get the stuff we all got for free. Battlefield Bad Company was one of the first that EA did this with, as well as Mass Effect. But in Battlefield Bad Company, you got some maps and, I don't know, a few other baubles and trinkets to keep people happy. But if you didn't buy it new, you got that for $10. You had to pay $10 for that, excuse me. So now Ubisoft's looking to do the same thing. And my question to you gentlemen, after having said that, and of course got the story there, are we pretty much screwed at this point? Is this the new norm for games trying to cut into the used game market? Patrick, you go first.
Well, it's an interesting story. I have a couple questions, really, when I was reading it. Personally, I buy most of my games new anyways. When I can, not always. I like to give the developers who worked on the game for so long, and the publishers even, some money for the games I enjoy. I just won't have to worry too much about this extra $10 if I buy it used. But I know many people, whether they're students or they're on a budget or they play a heck of a lot of games, who will absolutely hate this idea because they buy a lot of used games or they rent games, which I'm assuming the same thing's going to have to happen. If you rent a game and you want to play online and you want that extra content, you might have to pay for that. If this plan is implemented and gamers who buy used games, we're going to have to pony up an additional $10 after they bought it. Will this drop the price of a used game by $10 on the shelf? You know, I doubt it. But that causes a bit of a problem because at least around my neck of the woods, some of the used games, now these are the recent released games and the big titles, they're only $10 or $12 cheaper than a brand new game unopened sitting on the shelf in the new section if they're new releases. So this would make it basically illogical to even buy a used game if you got to pony up an extra $10 when you buy it used compared to new. And that, of course, is what the developers and the publishers are actually trying to accomplish. And I could see less and less people playing used games. That's what the companies want. And if this works, I think that's what the companies are going to get. I think it's a bad thing if you're on a budget or you play a ton of games.
Gunsage, your thoughts on the Ubisoft following EA's lead?
This is the way I look at it. Okay, if a game is a few years old and it was something that I had played a while back and I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's in the bargain bin. I may as well go ahead and pick it up. You know, like something like fucking Maximo for the PS2, where I literally picked that game up for $3. If I really want the additional content, okay, I can get it. You know, whatever. But by that point, it's a case of, well, is the additional content even worth it? However, kind of stemming from more or less what I was saying with Alan Wake. Okay, so I am entitled to a free add-on because I bought Alan Wake brand new. Now, the chances of me buying the game used on the first day it came out, well, even if you're a power gamer, there's a good chance I would not have found that game used. There's that, but also, it's how much cheaper is it really for a used game? Most of the places I go to, the most you're going to find it as far as discounted is $5, if that. Usually it's only like $3. And I'm looking at it and I'm going, so I can get a brand new copy, unscratched, untampered, un anything for this much versus this copy, which I know for a fact has been played through, or they went ahead and played it for a little bit and went, ah, fuck this game, returned it. But that's the best case scenario. The worst case scenario is they played the shit out of this game, maybe multiple times, scratched the disc up, so when I take it home, I have no assurance what the game looks like. Even if they show me the game beforehand, it could look okay, maybe a little smudgy, but that's it, but then I take it home and then it doesn't work. Or maybe it doesn't have the manual, which is another reason why I contribute to replacement docs every so often, just because you didn't get the manual with your used game, there you go. But the way I look at it is, if you don't buy a game brand spanking new, these are the things that you have to worry about. Now, yes, there are people that are on a budget and things of this nature. Fuck, I was in college for almost 10 years. Jesus Christ. But what it comes down to is, if I'm going to pay for a game anyway, I want the best version I'm going to get. And now this further cements it. If there's a game that's out that says, hey, if you buy me brand new, you're going to be able to access all this additional shit. Now, if it's a really crappy game, well, I'm going to return it anyway and probably get most of my money back and get something I'd rather have. But if it's a game that I really do want, like Alan Wake, yeah, I beat it pretty quickly, but there's downloadable content coming in July. And on top of that, I've got a discount for it. So, D's nuts.
My take on this is, I cannot believe this industry is getting away with this shit. You cannot tell me that General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler failed because of used car sales. You cannot tell me that the gun companies are going out of business because people sell guns used to each other. Name me any product where there's a used market, and you cannot tell me that these companies are being this adversely affected as EA and some of these bigger publishers like Ubisoft are screaming, crying, and whining they're hurting by used game sales. Especially when, like Patrick pointed out, most of the used games until the game becomes less popular are almost as much as new. And you're as dumb as mulch if you buy the used copy when the new one's only like $4 or $5 more. So I can't decide if the gaming industry is slicker than the other big industries or what. I mean, I find it kind of interesting that EA Ubisoft slid this by in a down economy when nobody's making, well, excuse me, let me rephrase, of only a few people are making profits before this year. You know, kind of interesting timing if you ask me. Personally, as far as this goes for myself, if it's multiplayer content that I'm going to have to pay $10 for, I probably bought the game so long after it was out and for the single player only that I'm not going to pay the $10. If it's an episodic thing, like Gunsage said, and I feel like playing the game more, then I'll pay the $10. I just did it the other day. It wasn't $10, but I haven't played Left 4 Dead, the original, and I don't know how many months. I remembered that The Crossing or whatever the hell the DLC's called was out. Thought, well, hell, I got 560 points. I'll pay that. Granted, it's less than $10, but, you know, so I bought it. It extended the gameplay. But I don't think this is going to Crash Course. Thank you, Gunsage. Yes, Crash Course was the DLC for Left 4 Dead. I don't think this is going to put that big a dent in used sales. I really don't. Whether you're on a budget or not, with the way game titles tend to come in wads, you can't, you know, nobody can afford $200 or $240 to buy. Like, if I was going to go buy all the ones I wanted right now, I want Alan Wake, I want Red Dead Redemption, and Skate 3, that's $140? Even in good months, I don't have $140 to just throw down on video games, wish you did. So one of those is getting bought used, you know. You're not gonna kill the used market, because most gamers don't have unlimited amounts of capital. So, good luck, Ubisoft. I hope you think at least you're making more money and putting a dent in those bad old used gaming sales. While you're at it, you might want to shoot an email to the big three automakers. Maybe they can crawl back out of the goddamn bailout hole by, you know, only adding features to cars if you don't buy them used. Dumb shits. Okay, our next story, and this is a dun-dun-dun type story. Screaming headline from Game Industry Biz, which Gunsage is too lazy to sign up for because he's watching speedruns. headline is, report, Sony to reveal Sony to reveal premium PSN service at E3. I'm sure nobody listening to this, including my two co-hosts, are shocked at that news. According to reports, Sony is set to reveal a premium PSN service at E3, which will give users a wide range of new features for under £50 per year. Now, that's important. That's £50 per year. That's not $50 per year like Microsoft. Remember that for when I comment on it. VG247 has said that the new pay-for service will offer a string of new features and that subscribers will be given one free PSN game from a choice of 2 to 4 every month. If you work it out, PSN games cost an average of £6 to £9 each, so over a year you're basically going to be breaking even, a source told the site. They also revealed that music streaming and other da-da-da-da-da, but they go on to keep saying that it's less than $50 a year. You'll still be able to play free online, yada yada, don't worry, nobody panic, everything's fine. Two questions for you, Patrick. One, are you surprised at all at this? Two, do you expect them to continue to give everybody free play from now and forever, or is this just going to slowly get morphed into everybody's got to pay?
Oh, it's the beginning.
It is definitely the beginning. We talked about the PlayStation Network and if, when it will become a pay-for-use service many, many episodes ago. And looks like it's coming into fruition, at least in part. And I'm sure in the future, everyone's going to be paying. I'm not 100% sure about all the details here, but it sounds like the £50 price, you know, for many of the PSN's features. But you do, like it says, you get a few cheap downloadable games for free, but maybe you don't want them. I don't know. Like, will you be able to choose which games they are, you know, with your subscription every month? It's something that Xbox Live does not do, but then again, Xbox Live has more features, and if you convert it dollars for pounds, it's a lot cheaper also. I think, Bruce, you said it before in our past episodes, and you're still correct today. When Sony has a big enough catalog of online games and services, they will definitely start charging everyone to use the PSN. I think I'm not surprised, like you asked, and they will. Everyone will fall victim to it. I'm sure they will. But for now, at least, from what we hear, looks like it's only optional, which is probably a smart move by Sony, because as you've said before, and we've agreed that they don't have a big enough library yet to charge for it. They need to keep some of it free for now, but in the future, and I'm thinking probably the near future, everyone's going to get nailed for it. I guess we got to wait to E3 and hear all the details, but looks like Sony fanboys are going to have one less piece of ammunition to use about the PlayStation 3 versus Xbox 360 online, you know, when they have to pay for online services just like we do.
Gunsage, are you surprised? And your thoughts on the matter?
No, I'm not surprised. Ultimately, what it comes down to is, okay, for the PC, whenever you go ahead and play a game online and you're playing it for free and all this other shit, I look at it and I go, well, yeah, because, I mean, most of that shit started on the PC anyway. I mean, with the 360, it's kind of one of those, to me, it's more of a gray area because, yes, I think it should be free, but hey, you know, everything should be free, whatever, you know. Ultimately, what it comes down to is, I'm like, the 360 has done so well, even though they're a pay service, you know, for the gold memberships, but you can't really do much with the silver memberships. And now I'm seeing this and I'm going, oh, don't worry, you don't have to pay for it. It's just that it's a PSN exclusive thing. You have to pay for that, but you don't have to, you know, whatever. And I'm going, yeah, except that kind of looks more like Xbox Silver, Xbox Gold memberships. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, well, I mean, it's going to happen sooner or later. You know, if you want better servers, if you want them to work better for your games and everything else and be more reliable, okay, you're going to have to pay for them. That's just what it comes down to. And that's mostly from a console perspective. So I'm like, hey, it's not that big of a deal. It really isn't. Now the question is, okay, so can the PSN stay on track giving gamers what they want for this kind of service? Because if you're going to have to pay every month for it, goddamn, they better have some good shit. You know, they've already got Final Fantasy VII and a bunch of other stuff. I think they're still in the process of getting Final Fantasy IX converted, but I don't have a PS3, so I don't really care that much. I'm just, you know, whatever. But I'm looking at this and I'm going, eh, it was inevitable. I mean, the PS3 in the last generation was doing really well, and now they're having to emulate everyone else because they kind of alienated a bunch of people because of their price tag, and now they're only just now catching up. So they're kind of like, oh yeah, we can do the whole Wii thing, and oh yeah, we can do the whole, you know, the whole 360 dedicated servers and shit thing. So I don't look at this as being any major shock or surprise.
Okay, first off, Sony is a company who I batter around like my own personal ping pong ball on this show at times, if not all the time. Did this right. Okay, so we're clear. I'm giving you a slight pat on the back, Sony. Slight. Ever so slight. Sony fanboys, who for my money, and this is my personal opinion, probably not shared by the other two hosts, are some of the dumbest, most annoying fanboys out there. Maybe it's like neck and neck between them and rabid Halo fanboys. It's kind of, I don't know, it depends on my day. So here's, I'm speaking now solely to you, Sony fanboys. I converted all this, and £50 a year comes out to $71.87. Xbox Live Gold is $50. That comes out to $5.91 a month for the PSN, as compared to $4.16 a month for Xbox Live. That's a savings of $1.75 a month. So your service is already more expensive, which leads me into Gunsage's thing of and Patrick's of, these free PSN games, it's going to make it all okay. Well, I'm not sure how many of you recall when Xbox Live went down during Christmas, during 2007, and everybody took to the internet to rage and rattle cages and this and that. So Microsoft got backed into a corner and just said, we'll give you a free game. Rabble, 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 everybody put out their torches, da 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 da. We're going to get a free game, we're going to get a free game. It was a mumbling mantra all across the internet. You know what the game was? It was Undertow. And I very rarely say a game is a complete pile of garbage, but the Doritos Dinosaur Rage game was better than Undertow. More fun, too. Yeah, so I want to see what some of these selections are going to be for these free PSN games, 2 to 4 a month, you'll get a chance to pick. I'm thinking it's probably not going to be Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy IX. You know, it's going to be more a little bit like Undertow than anything. But sorry, Sony fanboys. It's finally a pay service, and if you don't think for a second Sony, who has lost more money than anybody else in this generation, is not going to eventually pull an EA Activision and make this definite, you have to, and a gold and silver service like Xbox Live, you're crazy. And I'm like, Patrick, I think it's going to be sooner rather than later. They're the GameCube of this generation. No, the graphics are better.
Yeah, but GameCube made money. Sony's still losing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, would they please show us their overall spreadsheet? You know, are they in the black overall? They talk about year to year, but they don't talk about overall. Our next story, and I found this a little interesting, although I don't need to read through the next, the whole thing. And it's pretty simple concept, if you ask me. Would you pay to open up your games? And basically, this guy goes through, goes through, let's see here, DOA, X2, Skate 2, Split Second, and then Sonic and Sega Racing All-Stars. Basically, on the Xbox Live service, you can pay to unlock everything. I saw this feature in Skate 2, paid it no mind. But his contention is this is not a good trend. My question to you is, basically, do you care? Because really, if anybody's going to take this shortcut route, to my mind, they're cheating themselves. Patrick, what do you think?
Oh man, little Timmy's getting a lot of recognition on this podcast. Little Timmy must be happy that he doesn't have to actually play a game to get all the characters and all the bonuses. Have we as gamers become that lazy that we will pay money or Microsoft points or whatever points it is, whatever system, to unlock things in a game that traditionally you would unlock by playing it over time? Isn't the point to play it and your reward is you've got a new character or a new gun or a new car or whatever? What happened to replay value of a game, to achieving a great score, to unlocking things? What happened to enjoying a game the way a developer intended it to be played, intended it to be unlocked? I won't be buying some way to unlock characters in a fighting game or costumes in a Star Wars game or racers in a racing game. That's just lame. It's counter, like, what's the point? If I can't earn it myself because I'm not good enough or I don't have the time to play the heck out of it, then so be it. You know, they mentioned in this article Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing, right? Well, if, it's a pretty good game. I really liked it. And if you've listened to the podcast, you'll know that I own it and enjoy it. I had to unlock the racers, unlock the tracks, unlock the soundtracks by winning races, playing the game, doing objectives. If I had all the racers at the beginning, there would be no motivation to play the games I have. So I wouldn't have enjoyed it as much. So I won't be buying ways to unlock my games anytime soon. And if you're someone who's doing this, I really don't think you're a real gamer.
Guns Age, tear it up.
Okay. You know, back before I had a 360, probably in like 2006 or something, I don't know, I saw a funny video on College Humor called Achievement Whores. And basically it was, you know, prostitutes that you could buy, and they would come into your home, and they would go ahead and, you know, per hour, rack up achievements on really popular games for you and stuff. And it was really funny. And I didn't think much of it because I didn't know what the fuck achievements were in the first place. And it kind of went from there. Okay. Then there was a situation in The Godfather, because I was like, you know what? I am such an achievement whore myself. I think I'll go ahead and read buy Godfather now that it's really cheap for the 360 and then sell my, you know, Xbox version. Whatever. Here's the problem. With Godfather for the 360, they give you a free one that you can download at your perusal where it'll give you like $50,000. That's pretty much enough to go ahead and buy a safe house. Okay. And that'll earn you a pretty decent amount of respect points. So that's cool. But here's the problem. There's a lot of them. There's some of them where it's like you can have additional upgrades for your weapons, things that weren't in the original game. Now that's kind of cool, except that makes it too easy because instead of having level 3 for the cap, you have level 4. So it's unrealistically powerful magnums and shit like that, if you can afford them. Of course, you should be able to afford them because there's one you can pay for as well that gives you $100,000 right off the bat, but you have to pay for it. Now, granted, these are all grouped into a quote-unquote Don's collection, but it's for one saved game and one saved game only. And this is a problem because I have to start over if I want all the achievements because I missed a couple. So that's bullshit. But on top of that, it's a case of, okay, but why? Does it matter? Because I was able to go ahead and basically bribe a company, they make a game easier for me. Another way to look at it is like this. So let's say on BioShock 2, there's an achievement called Big Brass Balls. It's very similar to the Brass Balls achievement in the original BioShock, except that you don't have to play it through on the hard mode. Basically, if you get through the entire game without using the Vita Chambers, which I did on BioShock 2 anyway, on any difficulty level, you get this achievement. Okay, so it's an achievement. So for people that give a damn about achievements, well, that's cool. What if they also gave you an Avatar Award? And what if you could buy that Avatar Award instead? So what if upon getting this game I go, oh, I don't know, the original BioShock was pretty tough. I think I'll go ahead and buy that Avatar Award. And then I manage to get through the game without using Vita Chambers, and it doesn't matter. Because at this point now I've already bought it. I'm not going to be refunded the money, obviously, so that's a bunch of bullshit. But it's not even... It gets even worse, because ultimately, my one friend Rob, he has a PS3, and he recently picked up Disgaea 3 because we were big Disgaea nuts, especially back when I was in college. He picked up Disgaea 3, and he was telling me that about 90% of the really awesome bonus characters from Disgaea, Disgaea 2, other Nippon Ichi games, they're downloadable, but you have to pay per character. So it might not, you know, be very much, but it's a case of, okay, you have to buy Laharl. You have to buy this character. You have to buy this character. And sure, it doesn't really enrich the gaming experience. It's more, holy shit, I'm beating these guys up with Laharl. But it's a case of, well, yeah, but in the original Disgaea, you could unlock characters like that just by going through the side missions and shit. So now they've put it exclusively on this. Honestly, I think developers are getting a little distracted as far as what they should do for downloadable content. Don't get me wrong. If it was something where it was like, okay, so in Disgaea 3, you could download a patch that would, you'd have to pay for it, but it would allow you an additional scenario that allowed you to go back to Laharl's world and do all this different shit, and if you do it well enough, you can recruit Laharl. Okay, that'd be awesome, because you have additional missions, you have all this stuff, but no, they're having a situation where you can buy the different characters, so they become more and more meaningless. About the only thing I really have to say on top of that is, with Cruisin' USA, the original one for the Nintendo 64, you could get a police car if you beat the game, which was then a higher tier character of sorts, and then you could get upgrades by beating it on higher levels. Are we saying now that instead of doing that, we should just go ahead and buy it? Because, hey, fuck the difficulty. Hey, fuck everything else. Let's go ahead and pwn our friends instead. That'd be awesome, right? Wrong. That's the whole purpose of a game. The purpose of a game is the challenge. I don't get people that would actually pay for this shit.
You said with the end of yours what I'm going to say with mine. I don't get it. Now, I pretty much have beaten Skate 2. Now that I'm done with it, I might think about it just to see what few unlocks are there. But I'm not going to buy it before I've played the game all the way through. You got to be kidding me. Personally, I think it's the responsibility of gamers to hold these people up and mock them. We got to figure out a way to be able to know who has done this, especially if it starts leeching into the first-person shooter genre, which I fear more than anything, and make them feel so horrible about being douchebags about it. That's the only way you're going to stop it. It's ridiculous. I mean, that's not the point of playing a game. Again, like my rant during the Best Of show, a point of playing a game is having fun. or as Patrick said, getting a high score, or working to unlock that. It's just, it's the same as the damn nerfing discussion topic we had. Oh, well, we just don't want to have to make people work. And again, I will close this like I disclosed that topic. Lord help me, I'm glad I'm going to be dead when these people take over the planet that actually want this stupid shit. Our next story made me laugh so hard I about spit coffee out my nose. Or shot coffee out my nose. I'm going to go first on these last two gentlemen, just so you know. Yeah, it sucks more with coffee, Gunsage, trust me. I about choked. The headline, Ubisoft, Natal, Move, or Revolutionary. Ubisoft reps said during an investor's call today that Microsoft's Natal and Sony's Move controllers are revolutionary, and they are going in the right direction for the industry. With regards to Natal and Move, we have been investing quite a lot for those machines. We feel that we will be able to come with technically good products at E3, and at the end of the year, they said. We know that Microsoft and Sony are going to push these two new machines very strongly with huge marketing campaigns. Those two products are revolutionary, and it's going in the right direction, yada, yada, yada. My take on this is really simple. No, it's not. No, they're not. Ever heard of the Nintendo Wii, Ubisoft, you morons? These aren't revolutionary. They might have improved it a little bit, but hell, nobody knows. Sony showed off their damn Tootsie Roll Pop thing at GDC, and we have yet to see Natal. Hell, there's rumors still flying all over the place stupidly that it's going to be anywhere between $200 and the price of a damn house. I mean, get out of here with this crap, Ubisoft, revolutionary, my ass. Patrick, what do you think of this?
Well, Natal and Move are revolutionary, apparently. Wow. So wait, how can Sony's Move be possibly called revolutionary? Sony themselves admitted at their own press conference not very long ago that the Move is highly inspired by the successful Nintendo Wii. As a matter of fact, the Move is an exact friggin' copy of the Nintendo Wii. It has two controllers, both using motion, one's like a nunchuck. The only difference is the Move looks like a giant dildo for the more adult audience that wants to play. You know, it's obvious that the Nintendo Wii is the revolutionary console. It happened 3 years ago, for God's sake. You know, even if the Wii's visuals and sound are crap, and it's two friggin' generations behind in that context, it was revolutionary and it changed everything in the last 2.5, 3 years, you know? For better or for my opinion, as everyone knows, for worse, it was the Wii that was the revolution. As a matter of fact, that's what they called their console before they changed the name. It was actually called the Nintendo Revolution. If you love the Wii, if you hate the Wii, it doesn't matter, really. This is really stupid. I don't know why this executive or whatever it was, spokesperson, even said this. It's just a stupid statement. I have to admit, Project Natal, although it's not revolutionary, at least it's different, and it's not exactly copying the Wii. There's no controller and stuff, so maybe something about it will prove different and maybe revolutionary, but definitely not Sony's Move.
Gunsage, your thoughts on the revolutions running around?
Okay, so with Natal, the main thing I'm concerned about is I worked security for about 5 years, and I've worked with motion sensors. Now, okay, this is a little more sophisticated than just a basic motion sensor. At least I would hope so for the price, but Jesus Christ. I'm looking at this and I'm going, so what happens in an RPG, God forbid they make an RPG, where you have fucking motion control shit? Because you'll have fucking fat nerds that die while playing it. But basically, I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, so in the event that there's an RPG, or fuck, even a Metal Gear game, where there's this ridiculously long cutscene, so you're just kind of sitting there on the couch waiting for it to end, then it ends, then you get back up to proceed in the action, and it can't read you anymore. And the reason it can't read you is it's expecting one thing, but it's getting another. On one hand, I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, maybe I just don't understand the technology 100%. That's a definite possibility. I don't know what they're doing with all this. But if it's going from a motion sensing angle, that's not going to work quite the way they need it to work. I mean, that if it does, that's really cool. Really super futuristic, super whatever, you know, 80s version of 2010. That's awesome. But on the other hand, I'm going, yeah, but I don't know. And that's more or less a concern about me with the industry. But in general, I'm looking at this, I'm going, from a revolutionary angle, are you fucking fucking kidding me. Look, don't bullshit yourselves. Don't try to bullshit us. We already know what it is. You're trying to cash in on the success of the Wii. It really comes down to that and nothing else. Don't even try to go ahead and bullshit us to anything else. That's like Rockstar going ahead and making a game about rape and then going, no, 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 no. This is a game about symbolism, the symbolism of the vagina and all this. It's an adult game, yes, but it wasn't meant to be perceived like that. And meanwhile, you go ahead and boot up the game, and the first thing you see is a gigantic fucking vagina saying, Rockstar, sideways, basically. You know, it really comes down to, we know what it is. We know what the fuck it is. Don't bullshit us.
Okay, and in our last news story, and it should be a quick one because it just, I cannot give Sony a pat on the back, and then this story's last. This came to us from computerandvideogame.com, although it was all over the place. I think I had it at Destructoid as well. Sony, Apple is more arrogant. Sony Computer Entertainment Australia's managing director believes that Sony previously perceived... Sony Computer Entertainment Australia's managing director believes that Sony's previously perceived arrogance has been overtaken by another company that bears the name of a fruit. Just a clue, it's not an orange. Sony's latest PlayStation advertisements, which employ charlatan spokesman Kevin Butler, poke fun at the company's corporate image. Sony has tried to right this perceived arrogance recently, replacing PS3 adverts of babies crying with "It only does everything" campaign in the U.S. Yada 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 yada. They go on to talk about how Apple's more arrogant. Yada da da da. I'm going to make this quick, and it should be simple and quick. Okay, Sony, so Apple's more arrogant. You just came in second place in an asshole contest. That's not something I'm going to would want to be shouting all over the news blogs, you morons. You're still arrogant. You still think you're better than everybody else. Ooh, Apple overtook you. Whoopee, that's Apple's marketing campaign, for Christ's sake. Have you met a Mac user that at least a tiny bit doesn't act elitist? Come on now. There's probably a couple out there, but like I said, they're shouting to the rafters that they're coming in second place in an asshole contest. That makes no sense. Patrick, what do you think?
Yeah, exactly what you said. It's pretty funny. I'm almost starting to feel sorry for Sony. Last generation, everybody was picking on Nintendo and the GameCube and whatever. This generation, everyone's picking on Sony. But they're setting themselves up for all of this bashing. I mean, the things they say and what they do is ridiculous. And here's another example of it. Just like you said there, Mr. McGee, I agree. Being second place in an asshole contest still means you're an asshole. A statement that Apple is more arrogant than they are is in itself pretty friggin' arrogant. You know, it's basically they say, you know, we know that we're bad, but hey, hey, look over there. See those guys called Apple? They could possibly be even worse than we are. So it's okay, guys. Really. It's a really dumb way to justify themselves.
Gunsage, are you on board with the this is stupid because it's coming second in an asshole contest?
You know, I can't remember the exact terminology they used in Lucky Number 11, the Kentucky Switch, basically making people look one way when the action is actually happening another way. It's the same thing, more or less. And calling people arrogant does not, in fact, note humility, so I'm kind of looking at this, I'm going, oh, they're more arrogant than us. Yeah. So everyone knows most of the Apple guys are arrogant. I mean, that's like saying, hello, I'm a Mac, and I'm a Sony, and they're fucking arrogant, and fuck them. It's like, come on. Really? Really?
You had it right. That, you know, I didn't even think about that. It's the oldest con in the book. It's a bait and switch. Hey, don't watch which walnut show the farted? Peanuts. Yeah. Yeah, it's you and your buddies that poop farted. You're absolutely right. God.
Oh, God, Charles, did you fart?
And the sad thing is at the end of the day, I want Sony to do well. I want all these companies to do well so that there's competition and nobody feels like they're ruling the planet. But Sony just sets themselves up time and time again for this crap. Oh, book. I saw that and I just was like, oh, really? Really now? Okay, that's enough for news. Let's move on to Gamer Dick. Gunsage, you said you had a Gamer Dick this week?
I do. It's not that big of a deal, but it kind of extends on what you were saying last week during the best of week. Okay. I don't really have so much a gamer dick as just someone I was annoyed with, and it comes from two people, so it's kind of a multi-part issue. First, Seth, who's really awesome, been on the site forever, mostly on Morphine, but he's also a big gamer too. He recently got back into the Xbox Live realm, and him and his roommate that is a girl, that Angelica, were online at the same time, and they wanted to play something with me. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, let's see what we have in common. Nothing, 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 nothing. And then finally we came up with Gears of War. There was Grand Theft Auto 4 also, but it was more a case of, what could they play split screen in their apartment that I played with them on mine? So I'm like, okay, Gears of War worked. Okay, so at first it was just, you know, me and maybe one other guy, or me and Seth or Angelica versus, you know, whoever was left. And then as people started trickling in, because, fuck, it's like, what, back in 2007 it was released, right? Something like that. Barely anybody was playing online. As people started trickling in, we finally got to a 4-on-4 match, us three versus, with someone else versus, you know, another four. One thing that Seth said kind of irked me initially was, I don't want to do ranked matches because I don't want my rank to go down. You know, I haven't played this in a long time, and I'm thinking, so? It really comes down to where you can find people. If people are actually playing on ranked matches, I don't give a shit. Hell, when I go into Puzzle Quest Galactrix, every week or something like that, and try to look for people, I never find anyone. But I look on the players list, I look on the ranked list, I look everywhere, because I don't care. I don't care about the leaderboards, and you really shouldn't, because they're not achievements. But also because, is it that big of a deal to you? Are you a professional gamer? Do you make money for this shit? If you do, okay, ranked matches, yes, I understand. Maybe play a few player matches to go ahead and get yourself warmed up, then play some ranked matches, sure. But the whole idea of a ranked match to me is just ludicrous. I'm looking at this and I'm going, is it really that big of a deal? That's the first part of my gamer dick, but here's a second. So we're playing for a while. I'm having drinks in between matches, which I normally do anyway. And I'm playing a little bit better, a little bit worse, depending on what's going on. And we get to the point where we were on, it was one of those, you know, you had to win 10 matches to win or whatever. So we had gotten to 9 matches, then all these fuckers joined in, so then we weren't doing as well. And it literally got to the point where we lost. It was only like 9-3, and we eventually lost. And when we were at like 9-8, the fourth guy on our team was like, yeah, teamwork. Yeah, I wish I knew I had some of that over here. And of course, I made fun of him. I was like, I know what teamwork is. Teamwork's a word with an I. You know, I was just trying to be funny, trying to go ahead and lighten everyone else's spirits up, but they were getting pissed, and understandably so. And I was getting annoyed from that comment, because I'm like, really, dude? We're playing to have fun. This is a player match anyway. Who cares? I guess my gamer dick comes from the idea of, so you lose. Big deal. It happens a lot. Fuck, it happens a hell of a lot, especially in Battlefield if you're first starting out, or, well, really, especially with the whole level up system, which anymore I guess is a blessing and a curse. It's going to happen a lot, especially when you're first starting out in something. It doesn't matter how good you are. I'm looking at it and I'm going, you know what? There's people that are better than me, and I don't care. They're better than me. I can learn from them. I can learn from my squad. I can learn how to better play the game, because online is much different than single player, because these motherfuckers don't act like they do in single player, the computer anyway. I guess my problem with the gamer dick of this week is, it's from an angle of, this guy was pissed off that a game that's 3 years fucking old, we weren't playing well enough for his fucking standards on a player, not even a ranked match, versus other guys that were clearly doing better. I don't care. Be a sore winner. Whatever. It's retarded.
Do you want to make it clear that it was more the concept of the ranked match and not Seth that you were irritated with? Or do you want...
Yeah, I wasn't
irritated.
I wasn't irritated with Seth.
Okay, because I was just going to send him a message after the show saying, don't hate me and Patrick, just hate Gunsage. joking, baby. Patrick, you said that you had a kind of a gamer dick, but you're going to go a little easy on it.
I do. I'm going a little light on the gamer dick. It's probably a gamer dick in training because of this future dick.
A t-shirt that says that. I want a t-shirt that says gamer dick in training.
I like
it. I bet we could sell those.
Or for little girls, bitch in training.
Yeah, gamer bits.
In training or something. Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, we should say this. Someone's going to take our idea.
Yeah, I'll cut.
But, no, it has. This is, surprise, surprise, playing Halo, the Halo Reach beta. Of course I was going to come across a few people like this. I won't say who it is, however I will say it is the brother of someone who I've played a lot of Halo Reach beta with. He got a little on my nerves, but he is a kid, so we gotta give him some slack. He complained about everything when he died, or when he lost. The game type's fault for him dying. It was the map's fault for us losing, even though the same map we won on last game. It was his brother's fault for losing. It was something that I did for losing. It was not watching his back all the time is why we lost. And it went on, and it went on, and although when he played well, he played like a 12, 13-year-old Twitch gamer, and he came in first place, but if he didn't, which was sometimes, everything, absolutely everything was, you know, the fault was not his fault. So, the gamer dick in training, that's all I'm going to say.
Hell, it's worth it to me for the gamer dick in training line. That's the fucking funniest thing I've heard all week. It all ties into what we've talked about before. It seems like a lot of people are trying to suck as much of the fun as possible out of these games. And I mean, you know, the Halo thing I expect, but I'm totally with Gunsage to close out gamer dick. I totally agree with Gunsage. If it's a 3-year-old game and you're bitching about teamwork, you need to shut the hell up. I mean, seriously. Patrick, before we wind it up and get the hell out of here, you said you had a controversial shout-out. Why don't you give us that?
I do. I actually have two shout-outs. The first one I'll go with is the potentially controversial shout-out for some of the old school Morphing Nation and Project Wonder Boy people. As you may or may not know, WonderPod has recently created a page on Facebook, and we already have some friends on the page. The official name for those of you who want to join up for on Facebook is WonderPod Online. That's three words. Send us a friend request, you know, we will get back to you. We, you know, we won't bite unless you want us to. But anyways, now on to my potentially controversial shout out. One of the very first people to become friends with WonderPod on Facebook is someone that is well known from Project Wonder Boy and the Morphing Nation's past. That would be my personal friend, Fat DJ, former coworker of mine is from way back before I even knew what the heck the original Project Wonder Boy website was all those years ago. In fact, it was Fat DJ who introduced me to the original Project Wonder Boy. He accepted WonderPod's friend request on Facebook literally within minutes of me sending the invite to him. And I'd like to say thank you, Mr. Fat DJ, formerly of Calgary, now I believe in Vancouver, BC. Thank you very much, Mr. Doran. No matter, you know, I hear there's some I can't even say the word. There you go. Those Canadians can't speak, eh? Between, you know, DJ and some of the others, I don't give a crap. Anyways, thank you much. For my second shout-out, I'd like to give a WonderPod shout-out to the Xbox Live user, Born 20th Century, who sent me a message last week when I got back from my hanging out in the mountains, saying that he listened to our podcast, and in quotes, he told me that he couldn't recognize my voice exactly, but all of us seem to have a lot of fun creating and working on the podcast, which is important to when you're making one of these. So, and then he goes on and he talks a little bit about the Reach video I made, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you very much for the kind words. Born 20th Century, that's Born the number 20 and then 20th Century. You're not the only person really who's told us that it sounds like we're having a lot of fun while we're making it, so that's a good thing for us to hear for sure. I'm glad that listeners are noticing that. So thank you to Fat DJ and thank you to Born 20th Century. Those are my shout outs.
I have no issue with the Fat DJ shout out. Too bad, so sad. and as to the fact that we have fun making this show, you should have been here an hour and 30 minutes ago. You would have thought that, and I forgot to hit record. We got 28 minutes into this bastard. It doesn't sound like we're having fun. Trust me, I was pissed off because I forgot, and I didn't really need anything going wrong. The other two, as you'll probably hear in the finished product at the first, speed read like the old speed reader guy on TV in their first comments. Don't blame them. But no, joking aside, we do have a lot of fun doing this show. And on that note, if you'd like to send us an email with a question, comment, insult, whine at me because I pick on the PS3 fanboys, you can do so at MorphineNation23@gmail.com. MorphineNation23@gmail.com. Until episode 20, I am and always will be a transvestite. I'm out of here.
Bye.
Madre de Dios, it's el pollo de la diablo.
Also, bye.
Hey, this is a little bonus for you. Today is Pac-Man's 30th birthday. And while I'm sure I played a few arcade coin-operated games before Pac-Man, Pac-Man is the first game I truly remember. The cabinet was at a Shakey's Pizza of all places, and every time my parents would go in there for pizza, I would do anything I could to get quarters to play Pac-Man. I doubt at that age I even knew what it was, but I just remember the bright yellow guy being chased by the blue guys, and I would do anything, beg quarters off of anybody with us, spend as much time as I could over there as a 7 or 8 year old kid. And so for me, while I probably played games before that, Pac-Man was really the beginning of my love affair with video games. So I say to Mr. Pac-Man, happy 30th birthday, and in my mind, you will be just as relevant 30 years from now as you are today. That comes from all of us here at WonderPod. Hope you enjoyed the little bonus. Adios.